Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Seth Emerson, you see what you've done. You see what you've gotten into. Seth Emerson, who writes for The Athletic. By the way, great piece today, and I said as on Twitter. And again, I want to clarify by saying Mike and I are not trying to get this kid to transfer. What we are saying is this is something that is going to be talked about at Georgia, and Seth just happened to write about it. Seth, you were in the locker room. I want to take folks back when Justin was asked this question about are you going to come back next year, and how did you interpret his answer?
Well, going back there, it's interesting. We go in the locker room, and like right away, you just follow the cameras, and they're already around Justin Fields. And he knew what was coming. I'm sure he was prepared. The team had told him, look, this is an open locker room. This is the first time you're going to get these questions because it's the first time this year you've been available. And so I think he knew that the transfer talk was out there and that he was going to get the question. And, you know, he just kind of dodged it in a way that came off to me as either, look, I just don't want to deal with this right now, or, you know, I want to talk generally about this because I either haven't really thought about it or I haven't really decided what I want to do. And I think that's only fair. I can imagine that any player in his position probably wants to wait a little bit, have the year end, decompress a little bit, and then sit down and kind of see where you are. And I think that's where he is. There's, as I wrote in the piece this morning, there's a lot like moving parts here too. A big part of it, and I don't mean to be long-winded here, but a big part of it. Yeah, a big part of it has to be what happens with Jake Fromm. I mean, the way Jake Fromm played for most of that game, he looked like a pro quarterback who has one more year of eligibility, and I wrote this. And this is just speculating, but everyone games this out. Like, wouldn't the best thing for Georgia be to have Jake Fromm, who, you know, will be the starter next year unless something crazy happens, have such a great year and lead Georgia to the national championship that he comes out because his pro stock is very high, and then Justin Fields takes over with two more years of eligibility? But is that realistic? Do we know that? Do we know that's going to happen? Does just Justin Fields know that's going to happen? Right. So it's just overall kind of a little bit of a situation.
It is Seth Emerson, guys, from The Athletic. Real quick before we continue the conversation, here's what it sounded like, by the way, when our Brian Gephardt, and as we said, Seth was just within earshot of Justin Fields when he was asked the question after the game.
The season's not over with, so, I mean, we still have one more game left. So I'm really going to come back on Monday and just practice and just focus on the next game.
Of course, immediately, Seth, guys who do talk radio, like us, go, oh, he's leaving. But, Seth,
he's gone.
Here's the question I have for you. DJ Shockley was a loyal dog, stuck it out, and arguably sacrificed some NFL career opportunity because he could have probably had 2 years, 3 years at another program and really shown the NFL what he had. And obviously, DJ stayed loyal to the program, finally got in as a senior. They gave him some use, and they got in there and had a number of snaps when David Green was there. But Fields is the kind of guy, you got to get him in a rhythm. This kind of piecemeal thing they did this year, we're not going to do that again with him, are they?
You'd think maybe not, but I don't know. I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's a little bit unfair to Fields to kind of just have him be the change of pace quarterback when he can also throw the ball. So I think that figures into the thinking as well. And yeah, you mentioned DJ Shockley, but he'll tell you, and I know because I've talked with him about this, that was a different day and time. Things have changed.
Right.
Guys, if they're not going to be the starter, if they can't, you know, guarantee they'll be the starter really for long enough to show the NFL what they can do and raise their stock, they're going to look for another place. And Georgia learned that with Jacob Eason in a decision that, frankly, everyone understood because of the way Fromm played last year. Look at Kelly Bryant, just committed to Missouri yesterday after shutting it down at Clemson once he lost the job so he could preserve his eligibility for one more year. It's just, it's happening everywhere now. There's only one quarterback. And there's only 1 year of separation between Fromm and Fields. And I'd be shocked. A lot of people keep bringing up redshirt year for Fields. I'd be shocked if that ever happened. I don't think that the thinking for anybody is that Justin Fields is a guy that is a fifth-year senior anywhere anyway, unless there's an injury. So, like, why would you do that? For instance, if you're Fields, why would you agree to a redshirt, thus giving up a year if you eventually do want to transfer? And we're just talking bluntly here in terms that I think we're just throwing this out there, but it's reality. It's something they're thinking about too.
Seth, what is the plan for the Dogs, as far as you know, with recruitment of quarterbacks and how they want things to lay out? Let's just say, obviously we know Jake's coming back next year. Let's say Fields is in the mix. Are they going to get one or two quarterbacks? What's the plan for them?
They're trying to get a second one. They have a commitment from John Reese Plumlee from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, same hometown as Brett Favre. He's actually, like I wrote in the piece today, people kind of forget, he's also a dual-threat quarterback. He's a good athlete. So he could probably do a lot of the stuff they're putting in for Fields. But they're looking for another guy, and they've been looking for a second one in this class since midway, I'd say midway through the season is when you started to hear this buzz of, oh, they just offered another quarterback. And so James Coley flew out to Hawaii to see Dylan Gabriel, who's going to be visiting this weekend, I was told. And I don't think you send James Coley, who's one of your best recruiters, out all the way to Hawaii, just for a guy that's just a guy. So it's just interesting that they're doing that. It could just all to be safe. I mean, you'd rather have – it's the most important position. You'd rather have as many there as you can. On the other hand, they've only got 85 scholarship spots. They have 25, maybe less, spots to sign in this class. So if they sign two quarterbacks, it is interesting.
It is Seth Emerson with this guy's Dog Report, brought to you by Brightbox, brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500. Call the elevated electricians. Seth, we get a lot of people that hit us up, and they go, well, maybe the kid doesn't know the playbook. We're lobbying for the guy to get some shots, especially like the Florida game, that goal line situation. Just use the athleticism, if nothing else. But the way they did use him piecemeal, is there anything to validate those kind of rumors that are floating around?
I think that we talked to Justin, and he made clear that he came to Georgia because he wants to be a pro-style quarterback. He doesn't want to be somebody who's just kind of pigeonholed into something. And right. The only reason he was kind of pigeonholed into that this year was the presence of Jake Fromm. With Fromm playing the way he was, obviously he struggled at LSU, but then pretty much the rest of the year was on point. What were you going to do? Why would you put in Justin Fields when you're chasing a championship and your starting quarterback is playing so well? So when Fields played, it was in packages, or it was the UMass game where they really let him air it out. I think the opportunity to use Fields this year that was missed was, like you said, a little bit more in that goal line, a little bit more in kind of these special short yardage situations. And by the way, if you're going to throw him out there for a fake punt near the end of the SEC championship, probably should have put him out there on punt team before. So
right.
When he walked out there, Alabama didn't immediately say, hey, look,
right.
Number one's out there.
Yeah, it was –
great point, man.
It was not only a terrible call by Kirby, but also very telling in the personnel selection. Absolutely. I thought they did a bad job of setting it up. Seth Emerson, our guest, guys. He writes for The Athletic. I did a piece today. If you missed it, if you're not a subscriber, go do that, because it's very good stuff, and they have some of the best writers in the country that cover sports. I get fans and people who have been around Justin Fields who tell me things, and some of it is valid and some of it is not. Do you know his father and the people around him, Seth? Have you spoken to any of these folks? And what are they saying?
No, I haven't. It's just more kind of what you hear buzz around the program, and the buzz on that has been kind of quiet, as in you ask people and they say, well, it's hard to tell exactly what he is thinking. And, his father is not being, as far as we can tell, this stage father of, that we've heard with some other people before, right. Kind of handling it the way actually DJ Shockley's dad did. If you remember, DJ Shockley was a coach's son, and his dad was a prominent high school coach in the area, in the Atlanta area. And he also wanted the best for his son, but he was also kind of, you know, took a little bit of a low public profile as things went on. And it worked out for DJ. And with Fields, I'm sure that they're trying to think what's best for his future. It's something actually Justin mentioned to me. He said he wants to, you know, if you want to go to the next level, that's why he chose Georgia, because he thought Georgia's pro-style offense would feature him in a way that would help him get to the next level, where he basically meant, I can be a pro, I can feature my throwing here, and right, my running will be an added bonus, the way Deshaun Watson is thought of. He didn't want to be pigeonholed as a runner, and I think that's something that is going to be a top priority going forward.
It is Seth Emerson, guys. Dog Report brought to you by Brightbox. Go to brightboxelectrical.com as we're talking about, you know, the future of Fields. Great article about how they're looking at other quarterbacks and certainly, you know, trying to maximize the talent and the fear these days that, you know, a kid gets, you know, the idea he can't play, he's going to scoot. What about the defensive side, Seth, and Mel Tucker with the rumors of the Colorado job? Who's going to replace him if he does go?
Well, those aren't rumors. That should be announced today.
Okay.
It was percolating like Friday night before the SEC championship, maybe Saturday morning, I put up a piece saying that the expectation is this will happen. And it's been, then I was told it was a done deal a couple days ago. Maybe it wasn't officially a done deal, but it should be announced soon. I have not heard of him being on the road recruiting for Georgia. So I think they've probably had that 10th slot for recruiting among the citizens filled this week. And I imagine that they will not rush into a decision on a new defensive coordinator. You've got to get it right. And when you've got Kirby Smart, who can, if they don't have anybody by then, or if the person they want to be the defensive coordinator isn't available until then, Kirby Smart can coach the defense in the bowl game. So I think I would expect that Kirby has also had a short list for a while. I mean, Tucker interviewed for Tennessee last year. The year before that, he was mentioned for the Georgia State job. I don't think he actually interviewed, but this is something they've expected that he would go eventually. So I think he's got a short list. I think he's ready. The only person on staff who would be likely to get the job would be Glenn Schumann, inside linebackers coach. He might be too young for it, though, so they might go outside. And you can probably get a pretty good secondary coach if you have that carrot of also being the defensive coordinator to add to it. And Georgia's going to spend, because Mel Tucker was earning $1.5 million, so that's also going to be attractive to candidates.
Seth, real quick, early signing period right around the corner. Where are the Dogs going to end up? Do you think they have a top two or three class?
Well, a lot of that depends on, I mean, do they hold on to Nolan Smith, nation's number one overall prospect? Probably is what I hear, but not certain. He's committed. Can they get Jaden Hazelwood, five-star receiver, back? A couple offensive tackles are announcing on Monday. Clay Webb, Trevor Keegan. Clay Webb kind of trending towards Georgia, and learned to bet on Sam Pittman when it comes to these recruiting battles.
Right.
They'll be top three. They're number three right now behind Texas A&M and Alabama. There's some outstanding battles out there before we say they'll get to number one. And, you know, the early signing period might not be the decider on it either. It'll probably go all the way to February, maybe, to decide between Alabama and Georgia and maybe somebody else.
Always great stuff, Seth. Appreciate it. And if you're not buying The Athletic, you should. Get it, man. Makes a nice stocking stuffer for Christmas. Have a great holiday,
Thank you,
man. Thanks for the information, my
all
man.
Right. You too.
There he is, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.